Yeah, go ahead and give us a recap, Nick.
I was giving one of my world famous lectures. And one of my students appeared to be acting a little strange. So I pulled him out aside after class, and I noticed that he was giving, narration, and that there was something amiss with him. So I started following him, and he went into the kitchen, at which point the Explodinator himself showed up and ruined my plans to follow this kid everywhere. And the Explodinator and myself argued for a bit. And then the gentleman came to see you, Marcus. He came to see you, I believe, talked with you a little while, and then he showed back up dead on your doorstep, and you started to feel the need to narrate all your actions, and you became, well, gritty and grimy in the noir fashion, and you knew you were seeking the Rhodes Pelegrin, I think it was. I forget. And you had a list of places that you knew where it wasn't.
I thought I already had the bird statue. I had got that from the dead body.
Ah, okay. You had gotten the bird statue from the dead body. And then you called me, and the Explodinator tagged along, as he is wont to do. And then I remember following you somewhere that we summoned something. And then I'm kind of hazy there.
The only thing I remember is we did a little bit of screwing around. Then we went to the artifacts department where there'd been a, quote, break-in. And then we were approached by a spirit who was part of the story.
Yeah. Yes,
that she was a dangerous dame.
Yeah, she was a noirish.
Femme
fatale. I knew she'd be betraying us before the end.
Yeah.
But I believe she hired us to go find her sister.
Yeah.
Who had been kidnapped by a guy, and you apparently were reaching your limit on the number of text calls you can have from the summoning and binding department.
Yeah, they were not pleased with me. They said it was like a meta narrative, and that, if we kind of follow along with it, we could find its heart or its source, I believe.
I can't remember what we were doing at the very end other than that. I think Mr. The Indiscriminate decided we were going to go along with it, even though my character was monologuing about how she was obviously dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Let me fill you in just on a couple of reminders. Galahad is not completely pulled into the narrative since he is a master of mind magic. He was able to insulate himself just in time. But he's still being touched by it. So you can see the narrative going on. It just hasn't completely taken over your perceptions yet. So you're kind of one foot in, one foot out. Yes, you do have the Malta Peregrin Mortimer. You have something that looks like what is being described. Miss Wonderly was the spirit that came up asking for help finding her sister, telling you that a Floyd Thursby had abducted her and is looking for the Malta Peregrine and will trade the sister for the Peregrine. Actually, that may not have come out, but that's the idea, is everyone's looking for this Peregrine and they're using the sister for leverage to get it. And yes, we are back with another Pig Smoke mystery. This will be a continuation from session 7. It's now being session 8. And we're just going to go in reverse order here. And Marcus, introduce your character.
I am Marcus, and I'll be playing Seymour Something Mortimer III, a character who's currently monologuing, thinking about this Thursby man and whether he could actually be trusted to make a deal. As he speaks this aloud, he turns to another compatriot who's here.
Hello, I'm playing Galahad Mortis, a expert at mind bending. Also, mind magic.
All right. And Steven is not able to join us tonight. Steven's character will have gone off on his own expedition, lost.
Oh, me. I figured he just went back to his chair to wait for us to give him all the clues.
He exploded himself in a blazing fire and is, has disappeared from the group. So joining us tonight, back from Attic, who has... could let in on somewhat of what's going on. Go ahead and introduce yourself and your character.
I'm Josh. I'm playing Solomon King, a professor from Calling, Binding, and Sealing Away. And I actually don't have any real interest in the Malta Peregrine, but all these people kept crashing into my apartment, asked me about it. And I figured if I'd find the damn thing, they'd stop bothering me and let me get back to drinking.
Oh, you didn't hear...
Well, that's the classic Nick Charles setup.
Oh, right. I gotcha. Yeah, yeah. So, yes, he has been drawn into the narrative. All right, so go ahead. And Solomon is beginning his investigation, and he is going to run into the rest of the group. So there you go.
So I walk in. Where is everyone at?
They're still standing out front of the artifacts.
And you see the 1920s police tape and other things like that.
All right, so I walk in, followed by a small fox terrier, with little tiny devil horns on it. I walk up. I hurriedly push glasses into each of your hands and fill them up with some very potent navy gin. Like, hello, darlings. What's all this about this multi-peregrine I've heard? Is that it? Drink up.
Seymour knew something smelled funny when he heard the noises and he heard the animal. He turned towards Mr. King and said, no thank you. We were just about to help this lady here, Miss Wonderly, make a delivery to get her sister back from a Mr. Thursby who made off with her. And we're going to attempt to contact him if we can get contact information from her so that we can make a trade-off for this bird for this bird statue for the girl.
Seems like a pretty right trade. I'll take that glass. If you're not going to empty it, I will.
I will say, Asta, come here.
The lady that he's referring to is off to the side, smoking a cigarette in a long, thin, black cigarette holder. Blonde platinum hair thrown back as she's wearing a fur shawl and an evening dress designed not for the cool of the current snow-filled evening that you find yourself in. It's December, by the way. Seemingly unaffected by the weather.
That'd be Miss Wonderly.
Miss Thursby.
Miss Wonderly.
Yeah.
Mr. Thursby is the person we're looking for.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yes. Roy
Thursby. Yeah.
I don't have the first name written down, and I don't have a pencil with me.
All right.
Miss Wonderly, do you have any contact information for Mr. Thursby so that we can track him down?
Well, I have the address that he's waiting for me. I'm supposed to bring him the damn bird in exchange for my sister. She exhales on the cigarette. I believe in last episode you showed her that you have the bird.
Yeah, yeah. Shall we go to that address, gentlemen?
Sounds like a great idea.
My car is waiting, and
luckily, get this done before lunchtime.
It flips the shawl over her neck, and as she struts down the street, you see that there is a classic silver phantom limousine. In this case, to Galahad's eye, it is in fact very phantomly, Since you're not fully drawn into the narrative, you can kind of see through it. It's kind of smoky. What is actually sitting there is a dilapidated campus taxi.
Okay, that makes more sense. I was wondering, like, what the heck is this? I head towards the car and try to make sure if there isn't a servant. I open the door for the lady.
Oh, there is a servant. He is dressed in, classic, the black hat and the gray uniform. As he steps out in his gloved hands, he opens the door for his
mistress.
his mistress goes and opens a side door for you folks. To Galahad, this is a kid, obviously caught up in the narrative.
So I wonder if we could find Sam Spade.
Very surprised he's not here.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I believe Mr. Spade is probably busy. I don't remember the last time I heard from him.
Ah, that gloomy gusset just bring the whole caper down.
Oh, the blonde devil himself would be welcome. Anyways, all right, well, yeah, let's proceed to Mr. Thursby, I would say. I'd be shocked if he's not dead already.
There was something about the way the Galahad Mortis talked that set me on edge. Another dead body already in the middle of this night. This could only be a bad sign. Let's right. get going.
You guys hop into the campus cab / limousine. And you are quickly moved off. Galahad, you get a sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach as you notice that the roadway they're taking is the private roadway to the ziggurat. That is the dean's.
might be time that I exit this. This is time where I put down the novel and walk away.
Just imagine you just open the door and jump out.
I'm like, oh no.
That's not a word. Just open the door, rolls out. Done.
Peace.
Out.
What does it look like we're approaching to us?
To you, it looks like you're approaching a stately manor that is up on a tall hillside. Actually, the limousine pulls off a little lower at what looks like to you like the guest house. To Mortimer, it is actually just the offices that are right below the ziggurat that the direct employees to the dean use.
Say, there's some swell digs. I bet the servants even have servants.
Well, of course, darling. Only the best. Only the best for the Wunderlies. This is one of the summer homes that the family uses. I don't know how this Thursby character found out, but he has my sister in there. And as you pull up, you notice that there are two other, two Galahad campus taxis. And to the rest of you, they look like, 1950s, what was common, Ford Model Ts. You both, Galahad and the rest of you, can notice, though, that the sides of the cars are raked with bullet holes. Very real bullet holes.
I get nervous and I see the bullet holes and I feel the nerve shut as I notice my hand immediately go to my magic pistol, ready and waiting. But my nerves were not shot enough. I look to Mortis since he seemed to be the most level-headed man I knew. And then I look to King and wondered what insanity he'd bring us. Then I quickly turn back to Mortis, wanting someone much more sane to keep me calm. What do you think, Mr. Mortis?
Bullets. I'm astounded that they used bullets.
How gauche, right?
No, not even a 30-foot tall demon.
I would like to point out to you that we've already seen them use bullets before. We already had this conversation about the insult of using bullets so close to a magic campus.
It doesn't change my opinion on the matter. I'm still appalled.
Yeah. I prefer the good old-fashioned type of magic pistol. Yep. Magic sidearms are the best. Nothing like those. Oh, God, I'm just remembering my character's wearing a fishing hat, heavy robe, and he's got a wand and a belt. Oh, God.
So Miss Wonderly steps out of the car, lights another cigarette on her holder, and says, "Well, it looks like we have other guests entertaining Mr. Thursby tonight. I did hire some other private dicks, but I hadn't heard from them in a day or two. Maybe they're still on the case."
Did you happen to hire... I looked at it towards her suspiciously. Did you happen to hire one that looked like this? I give a description of the dead student.
He was the partner of a very handsome man. A Mr. Spade, I believe.
Oh, no good can come of this.
Spade betraying Thursby.
You know, when a man's partner dies, you're supposed to do something about it. I hear that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, she was saying that the student that was shot down on Mortimer's porch was the partner of who she says is Mr. Spade.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
When a man's partner gets murdered.
Yeah, when a man's partner's killed, you got to do something.
Well, she kind of leans back on the car and says, "Well,
I steadied my nerves. And I walked toward the building, and I made sure to look back and sassed, Thursby inside?"
She shrugs. "I don't know, darlings. That's what you're hired for."
"I'll best check it out. Let's get a belt of Dutch courage here, quick. Too somber by half."
She makes a motion with her left hand, like she just kind of holds her hand out, and the cabbie comes out, puts a drink glass in her hand. He's got a shaker in the other hand and pours her a gin, drops an olive in.
"Say, now that's service."
Okay, let's... Oh, God, I have a question. What does Mortis see with regards to the drink and the student?
He has poured what looks like a bottle of Boone's Hill wine into a glass.
A plastic cup.
The cup is floating in midair, though.
Okay, I say, well, unless I hope the two of you are ready with your preparations. I turn toward the building being as...
Do the lines appear to be going here? Like, is this the center?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're tracking. It is. It does in fact seem to be the convergence of the magical lines that are powering the effect.
All right, gentlemen. Well, let us see why the Rhodes Peregrine was so valuable.
I tap the left shoulder, like, and let's hope it will be a lucky charm tonight.
Also, to Mortis, I guess Solomon's dog is like what, a little demon?
Yeah, it's a little tiny hellhound.
Yeah.
It's adorable. Nice.
Now I'm imagining a Chihuahua hellhound.
Little terrier hellhound, yeah.
No, it's a wire terrier hellhound. Come on.
Ah.
There's a crack of thunder and lightning in the background as you ascend the step.
Did someone say Frau Brücker?
I don't like King this much, and I don't don't know why
I'm... That's unfortunate. I like you, sir.
Don't like Mournward the Third this much.
Wait, what do you mean?
I'm not saying... I have an internal monologue.
I know! I'm just disappointed. I've said good things!
Yeah, but I'm going to the ziggurat. I'm literally going
into the... We're not at the ziggurat yet.
Yes, I'm going on the doorstep of death himself.
I don't think he's death. He seemed like a good guy.
I mean, you know, you have your opinion. I have mine.
We helped his granddaughter or daughter or some relation.
Yeah.
You step up the several steps that take you to the huge double doors.
I guess I like Solomon and Mortimer.
Okay, we go to the doors.
Well, I'm Mortimer than the last guy.
We steady ourselves and we open the doors.
All right. When you say we, I'm taking that to mean you. Why don't you do some physical damage here for me?
Just open the goddamn door.
Yep. It's plus nothing.
This is why I need to remember that to use zombies more. Nope.
Okay. All right. So you're hurt. As you are riddled, or the space, as you fling open the door, the space from the hallway, there's an eruption of what sounds like Tommy gun fire, hit by several spectral bullets that cause real damage as it chews up the floorboards. Galahad, you are shocked to see these spectral bullets actually are making a change in the physical environment. The floorboard, the wood and stone steps are being riddled and chipped by whatever's firing from inside.
I yell out as I fall back behind the door, "We're here to talk, Thursby. We have what you want. But we want the girl."
A window opens from the second floor. Handsome man in a well-cut suit and hat sticks his head out the window and calls down, "They're not my men out there, but I'll gladly take the Peregrine. If you can make your way up, we can conclude our business, gentlemen." Galahad, it's the Dean.
Oh man,
maybe it's not too late to go. All right, well, I'm actually a little bit shocked and in the background and hoping that one of the people who are actually in this narrative can...
And Galahad, the suit and the hat were not ghostly.
All right, there's people between us and Mr. Thursby.
It was at this point that I knew I needed to call in backup. So I got on my phone and started calling my living impaired assistants.
Oh, wait, no. Cell phones aren't in the narrative, my friend.
Oh.
There's no phone booth nearby.
Oh, yeah, then fine.
Don't worry, I remember
the spell to put out the call for my men.
Yep, that's fine.
Asta here's small but scrappy. Don't worry, fella. He's got this.
You gonna make me roll to get my undead here?
I don't think you have to do anything special to get your guys. Okay. Other than just bring them into the narrative. So yeah, on the other end you hear yeah, boss.
I need you here. We've gone from just simple detective to outright gunfight. Get all the boys down here. We gotta
Boss. Your call's not coming in clear. GPS can't track you. Where are you calling from, boss?
I'm calling from the mansion. I give a description of the road I took.
All right, yeah. This is where you actually are going to need to convince them to come onto the Dean's property.
I need to goddamn my undead.
Yeah, so you can scathe, like you can browbeat them into doing it, or you can schmooze. They're like, oh, I don't know about that, boss. You can hear bony fingers scraping on bony skull as he's pantomiming, scratching his head.
No matter what, I'm going to try and schmooze and be like, come on, boys, I've been with you. Remember that fight we got into? And like this and this. And I'm making up all these stories about these cases that I've never done. Sure. About how I've had their back and they've had mine.
Yeah, it's plus charisma.
No. Minus charisma. And actually, I know exactly what I'm going to do to get this to happen.
Remember the time where I had you all walk off the cliff so I didn't have to get my feet wet?
When you miss a roll, I use Fatalist. It's now a 7-9 result, but I take a burnout.
So 7-9 result is do something's favor in exchange for a payment, favor, or bribe. So work that into your dialogue. What are you going to promise them?
Okay, look, boys, when we get through this, I will make sure to acquire and buy and expense the best bone polish available. We will have you boys being the shiniest and nicest boy, so that when you go out to that, when you boys decide to go out for that evening, you know, for that one undead lady, you know how you can tell with the right, you can make sure you look your best, boys. I'll make sure to bring out the best expensive, put out the best expensive to keep you guys clean.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you can only die, what, once, twice? How many times has it been that we've died so far, boys? Three? Four?
Hey.
What's another time? they give you they'll be there as soon as they can.
I look to the other two. Well, I've got to, as I put down my hand from doing the magic call, is he magic to do my call? And go, well, I got backup on the way. We've got to hold out at least until then.
Did you say that Asta has disappeared?
No, Asta's like the world's biggest coward.
Oh, that's right. So I got the voices mixed up.
Yeah, no, Asta's just like, he's a coward, man.
Yeah, but he's under demonic pact for me, though.
There's a scream from upstairs and more gunfire. And then from the top window, I suggest you boys hurry.
I'm going to send my little hellhound forward, and striking it to take on its full fearsome size and appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Using sorcery to go and ferret.
We should make the deal.
I thought we already made the deal.
Wait, who are we? Then why are we fighting?
Because they're a different group attacking Thursby and the girl.
Yeah, they're
between us and him.
Okay, I got confused. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to send my hellhound in to go wreck some guys.
Or out of character, there are people trying to shoot up the dean.
All right, that sounds like casting a spell. Is that what you're doing? Or do you have a special maneuver?
Yeah, that would be part of my spell casting.
Sure, go for it then.
And because it's a summoned extraplanar critter, it's plus bureaucracy for me.
Sure. I'd like to see that contract.
And I am going to spend... Whenever I cast a spell, I can spend Hold from Publish or Perish to bump it up a success category.
Mm-hmm.
And I can spend Burnout instead of Hold, since I don't have any. So I'm taking Burnout from a combination of two moves to boost it up to a strong hit.
So to get it up to a 10?
Okay, what right. What happens?
What's your unintended?
Oh, hold on. Let me see what the... it's been a while. Let me look at what the... what are my options?
Become someone else's problem. It's short-lived or temporary. Affects more than you intended, or something goes wrong and you get hurt.
Let's go short-lived and temporary.
That makes sense. Yep.
Like he decides to... Because he's a coward, he'll run away after that.
Right. Yes, the dog... increases to Brogdignarian, however that's pronounced, proportions. And goes on a little demonic killing spree on the inside.
All right. I would like to cast the spell as well.
What are you doing?
I have Illusionist Compulsion. And I want to subtly bend someone's perceptions. So that way that...
Whose perception? The group's perception, okay.
Yep. Well, I'm going to bend half of them so they start riddling each other with bullets.
Nice.
Oh, okay. No, no, hold on. So you can do that, but you're going to have to peek your head in there to actually see your targets.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Yep. So far, only Mortimer has exposed himself to gunfire, so you're going to have to do that to be able to see in there to do that. So you can keep your role, but go ahead and do some avoiding danger for me, which is just plus nothing roll.
Nope.
Ooh. No. Yeah, stray bullet catches you in the arm.
Right.
Yep. So mark hurt, but otherwise, I believe you get your spell off with a 7.
Okay.
You've got to choose a couple of bad things there.
Well, I actually have something different because of this.
Sure.
It says on a 7 and a 9, choose one.
Okay.
They are fooled, but only for a moment. They massively react to what you show them. Later, they think back and realize, A, what you did, and B, that it was you that did it, or feedback, bend your perceptions.
Well, narrate what you want to go on there, then.
I want to say they massively overreact to what I show them. So they actually come charging out of the house, thinking that we're already amongst them.
Okay, sure. There's also the sound of combat within as the hellhound goes to work. Some of them flee. Galahad, you're able to notice that these are students. Hellhound tosses out a body of a student, quite dead, as it continues to rampage in the inside.
Does the body have a gun?
No.
Shout, they're coppers! They're coppers! In hopes that they stop murdering the cops.
Well, yeah, well, Mortis, you did, with those actions, you are able to save some of the students as they come running out instead of trying to fight the hellhound in the midst. After a bit, it seems like things have calmed down. The sound of gunfire and screaming have stopped, although the sound of gnawing on bones and the crunching of bones has not.
I think it's clear. Let's get going so we can make this deal.
Don't want to murder all these students. All right.
Seymour looked confused over at Galahad when he mumbled something about murdering students. All he saw was gangsters, and gangsters have only one rule. They live by the gun. They die by some other method, probably.
Yeah. Real quick, when I noticed that they're students, could I ask that Mr. King, you know, get asked not to kill them all? And in fact, that...
ask away!
I will say, King, they're coppers. If you kill them, they'll always be on your scent. Gotta call back Asta. Let the mooks go in there and handle them.
Fair enough. Asta, enough playtime.
Yep, a little dog bounce out of the door, comes back, and nuzzles your leg.
Right. And then
I didn't know there were coppers.
And then I'm going to go over to Mortimer and I'll say, they're coppers. You got to have your boys take them alive.
I'm going to have to get them the extra shiny polish this time. I already knew my budget was going to be tight, but I didn't think it was going to be this tight.
About that time, a lorry comes screaming up the driveway, skeletons hanging off the running boards.
Boys!
All dressed in suits and ties and fedoras.
Black pinstripe suits.
Boys, it's going to get a little bit more complicated, and I'm doubling what I told you. We got to take them alive. There are coppers inside. I don't know why they're shooting, but we got to make sure they live. We don't want the 5-0 looking into our business too much.
One of them who's chomping down a cigar gives you a salute, and they go in and they clear the ground floor. You're given the all clear sign from one of your men.
Okay, let's go to the second. We've got to get to Thisbe and save this woman's life.
All right. Entering the ground floor, Galahad, there's the corpses of a few students laying about, as well as a secretary or two that you knew worked for the dean. There's a long set of stairs that wind its way slowly up to a second floor. It's kind of like a second floor internal balcony, you know, like where you can look down onto the floor below. A lot of rooms spread out from it. You can see that there are a few people kind of like taking shelter behind door frames. You can see the muzzles of a few guns poking out, but they seem to be cowed after seeing the destruction that was caused below.
All right. Well,
if you don't poke your heads out, nothing else will happen.
Oh, that sounds like you're trying to intimidate.
I shouldn't have been the one who said that.
Nope.
All right, go ahead and give us a roll there. Let's see, this is Scathe, which is plus charisma.
What? Holy crud, I actually succeeded.
All right.
The target of your ire has to choose one, but someone important, witnesses or learns of your rudeness. They are not pleased.
All right, so yeah, they'll cringe and cower. And this is simple enough. As far as the second part of that, everyone here hears you berating the guys.
And I smiled internally as I finally knew how to get a word in edgewise. I knew those arguments with the occasional with my subordinates would come in handy. You learn how to work with people that way. Either that, or you just think of Vladis the Indiscriminate and think about all the explosions that could happen. Either way, it was felt like I finally did something good, even if my left shoulder was hurting from the bullet wound.
There's a deep voice that resonates out. Well, I don't hear any more gunfire. If you've got the bird, bring it up. Third door on your left.
You got the girl?
I've got the girl.
Can we hear from her?
Yeah, you hear the girl call out, I'm fine.
I nod and have the boys proceed forward first, making sure no one's going to be a last-minute hero or a last-minute villain. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I head over, looking, making sure Mortis and King are with me.
Mm-hmm. So you have the boys head in first. And I believe how this works is you still have to make the roll, but then they suffer the consequences.
I actually get to add my sorcery to the roll. Okay. And if they get hurt. They can get hurt. They have the same level of thing as me, so they can get hurt and then they can be taken out.
All right. Then go ahead and give me a 10 plus sorcery roll in this case.
Nice.
11.
Okay. Your boys go up to the room in question. As they open the door, they kind of seem to freeze in place. And you hear a voice from inside say, now, no servants. Bring the bird.
Okay. I head over to with the bird. I look whether Mortis or King are following me.
I'll follow them, yep.
Yeah, I'm following them.
All right. So what you see is you're in a nice little office. There is a woman that looks very much like your employer, a little younger, sitting on a chair, enjoying a cigarette and a bourbon. Mr. Spade is sitting in a chair, cleaning a gun. There's a man's body on the floor, shot through the head.
It's the body. I take out the statue and put it on the desk.
Nice.
Hey, what's the deal with this statue? What's the bird's eye load on this caper?
By the way, I'm sorry to say, Mr. Spade, your partner didn't make it. He is the one who gave me the statue. Found him on my doorstep. 3 shots at him.
Well, I suppose that's just part of the job. It's better as a single guy operation anyway. He belts back his bourbon. He looks at the bird. He casually motions with his hand with the gun, and he shoots the bird. It kind of just shatters. It's like, yeah, looks like you were played for the suckers, boys. That's not the real bird. Galahad, this is the Dean.
Oh, no.
So the Dean is spayed?
And we're going to get neutered.
Yeah, well,
now I've got a little problem, boys. There are too many detectives in the pot, and I don't know who's paying your bill, but Miss Wonderly here and I have come to an agreement.
Oh, now, good.
We still need that bird.
Yeah. Okay. Can we help, sir?
I think maybe that would be for the best. I mean, you've got to earn your keep to stay in this business, you know.
I don't want to be in this business. I'm retired, but people keep dragging me back in.
Well, you get a certain reputation. You just can't get out. Now, can you?
Well, I'm trying.
I am very much edging towards the door.
Do you have any leads on where the bird, the real bird might be?
Ask the other Miss Wonderly. I think she's had more than a little bit of say in what's been going on.
Out of character, Bert, is this Miss Wonderly an actual person? Or
yes, it is. Only Mortis knows that, though.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I was just curious.
Yeah, Mortis, it's his granddaughter. It's, yeah. It is the mortal husk that is holding the deity. That, yeah.
Now I'm kind of curious if they're really affected by this or not.
Mm. Oh, she's Beth or whatever her name is?
Yep, it's Beth.
Oh, boy.
Well, I think I'm going to take a sabbatical, gentlemen. Bye.
Mortis. So Beth does actually strongly resemble the spirit of the other Miss Wonderly downstairs.
Ah,
just something to ponder there. Does strongly resemble the ghost downstairs.
But see, I was feeling a bit nervous in this room to be before a legend, but we seem to have been tricked, and so it was going to be an even longer night. I just hope no one else would end up shot. Although, I'd already been shot, so hopefully wouldn't be shot again.
Speaking of shot, pass that bourbon over here.
But Mr., as I really suspected, Miss Wonderly... Though Miss Wonderly we first met, she seemed too good to be true, and as it always is, she was.
Mr. Spade pours you a bourbon there, King.
Well, I think we should be going and having another talk with the other Miss Wonderly.
I'm shaking my head at King as hard as I can. No, 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 no.
Yes, 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 yes. Let's go talk to this Wonderly Dame.
So you guys head down?
Yes.
All right. The cab / phantom rolls is gone, although the cabbie is sitting on the ground. Looks like he's been hit upside the head.
God damn
it.
He slowly gets to his feet and brushes off his uniform as he sees you guys come out. He fishes inside of his uniform and pulls out an envelope. And he offers it to who's most likely to be the first one out? Probably Mortis, as he's been, Galahad has been trying to get out of there since step one. My pardon, sirs. I was instructed to leave this message with you if, in fact, you were still living.
Didn't think that was going to be on the table. Us not being living. Anyway.
Madame seemed to think it was even odds.
Mm.
Madame has been hiding more things than she should.
I am merely an employee, afraid.
Yes, an employee who apparently has had a bit of an accident.
I believe that was my walking papers. I believe Madame has removed me from her employ.
Well, if you ever die and need more work, just make sure you put me in your will.
Unemployed, huh? Boy, I wish it was you.
Nice.
Hey, what's the note read there?
What's the note say?
Are you reading it aloud, Galahad, or?
Yes, I'm reading it aloud.
All right. I'm assuming that you've lived through the encounter with Mr. Spade. If so, if you don't have my sister, please return her to me. You're still under employ. Bring her to the big house. Remember, you guys are just below the pyramid. And so in the narrative, the pyramid is the big house.
Well, we don't have her sister because we don't have the real Falcon. But she might know where the Falcon is.
Peregrine,
sorry. A type of Falcon, as every child knows.
Yes, as every child knows.
How to get the Falcon?
Actually, I take out the notebook from the dead investigator and look at the list of places that haven't been crossed out. We could always check these places.
So as you remember, the last place right above... Oh, okay, so there's a list. Several places have been crossed off. The last one that wasn't crossed off was the artifacts department, where you're assuming is where he found the fake Peregrine. There's only one spot left below it, and it simply says the Crypts.
That's right up your alley.
Oh, no! Are the Crypts what I think they are?
Yeah, the Crypts is the area below Dean's Pyramid.
That's... well, gentlemen, shall we once more into the breach? Luckily for me, my boys brought us a car, not shot up. We can check it out and then potentially have an argument with Miss Wonderly about keeping information back. I knew she was trouble the first time I saw her, too.
Of course you did.
Yeah, we all knew that.
You what?
We all thought that.
Oh. We did?
I don't think Mr. Indiscriminate did. He seemed taken by her.
Well, he's indiscriminate. Somebody was a very discriminate.
You raise a very fair point.
Then let us at least check out the crypt first and hope that let's hope it's an empty crypt.
Wouldn't be much of a crypt if it's empty.
Well, let's make sure there's nothing. Let's hope that there's nothing moving. Crypts tend to be places that, well, let's just say there's a bit of an animating force there.
If you don't like walking corpses, I've got some bad news for you right behind you.
I facepalm and go. I had to hold in my breath to not want to slap the guy, as he seemed to miss the implication of hostile undead being very vicious, mean. And potentially the fact that this crypt was old would indicate much stronger undead. So there are the potential for worse undead in an older crypt.
Ah.
Especially if any of them had, especially if any of them died with anger or any other strong emotion they may come back as revenants or a few other things. I've had to deal with the such cases as those.
So what you're saying is everything will be fine as long as they've all died peacefully and quietly in their sleep.
Yes. Although the
I got a good feeling about this, fellas. Let's drink.
I'm going to accept the drink now.
I'm going to accept the drink as well.
Cheers.
I accepted the drink knowing that tonight was going to be bad. And then most likely I would not just end up being shot. And I really thought that maybe, just maybe, I should really work on that trick my grandfather once told me about life stealing. It might keep me longer alive longer. But I threw back that drink.
So are your skeletons driving up and everybody getting into
the
car?
We're going to take their car.
All right. As you drive up the windy road, it has a fairly steep incline as it goes towards the pyramid of the Deans. You all have seen the pyramid. Very few get invited up here. The last time you were here was the interview about Beth, his remaining relative. You never actually got to see the Dean on that occasion. But as you go up, you know that beneath the Dean there is the catacombs. The Dean's lineage, his line, lies beneath. And as you drive up, you never thought about it before, Mortis or the rest of you. But there is a lot of iconographic featuring birds of prey, raptors, eagles, etc. that line have been carved into the bricks that make up the pyramid. Not perhaps shockingly, the entrance to the crypts seemed to be opened. Actually, the doors, the stone doors, have been shattered. Right above the threshold of the door, again, this iconographic of different types of, hunting birds are kind of entwined in the brickwork. And at the apex, at the top of the arch, at the key of the arch, something used to be there that's no longer there.
Look!
As you approach...
Is it perhaps paragon-shaped?
It seems to be shaped in a similar fashion to the bird that was just destroyed earlier. Mortimer, your skeleton servants have lost animation. They just kind of slump into the seats and chairs that they're currently in on the big van.
No! As I see Seymour stared as the lit cigar fell out of...
Being a practitioner of the school of life and death, there is a very strong protective ward that is not complete, but the magic is still here. It's very strong. It's very overwhelming. And it is such that it's meant to keep dead things dead. It's meant to keep quiet, restless spirits. And it is strong enough that within its presence, your skeletons have just lost animation.
And one of those good news, bad news situations, eh?
No, it's mostly just bad news.
As he, Seymour something Mortimer the Third stood, and I stood in shock as I watched the cigar fall out of his best underling's mouth. He hoped that... The ward would be, he would be able to be reanimated when he got back out of this area. The only thing he thought was, but the biggest problem though was that Mortimer doesn't like driving stick, and their car was a stick shift.
All right, let me drop and come back in, guys. I'm not hearing anything but static.
Quick, while he's gone, let's say things that will be able to be recorded.
Things. Alabama's currently winning. Yay!
Currently winning what?
Football game. The football. The balls that you play with your feet.
So soccer?
Hello?
Can you hear us now?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, we're good. So I missed what was just said, but Craig probably picked it up, so we'll just roll on. All right, so yeah, there's a very strong enchantment that has been broken, but enough of it remains that it still affects your skeletons. So yeah, what do you guys do?
We're gonna go. I'm going to head in, holding my shoulder wound, praying and thinking, I'm glad I've made sure to buy that really good health insurance for private detectives working on the campus.
Why don't we have the Mr. Charles go first?
Say, I don't like the way he said that, but I can't find any argument with it.
Yeah, given that you're the only one without a gaping bullet wound in you.
That's true. I'd like to keep it that way. But
yeah.
Fair's fair, yeah. I suppose. Come on, Asta. Good job.
All right. You head down. There are rows upon rows of niches in the wall where some hold sarcophagus, some hold actually just desiccated bones. You're going through and you notice almost all of them are from a family line called Salmonius family line. Nothing seems to be disturbed.
That's a good touch.
As you continue lower and lower, you are noticing, all of you notice this, it's layers of dust, cobwebs. You know, it doesn't look like people have been through here in a long time. Luckily, because of that, there's clearly, you can see dust has been disturbed, footprints going down, back up, as the stone steps spiral down. The ground floor has several, there's 8 stone sarcophagi arranged in a pattern on the bottom floor. All of them seem to be intact till you get very close and you notice one in the far corner, the lid is cracked. The steps that had disturbed the dust lead right up to this sarcophagus.
That seems to be the place.
Seems to be
the shot. Oh, y'all to see who lifts it open.
I think it should be you.
I think it should be you. You're the healthiest. Cough. Weed.
Outvoted again. Curse you, democracy. All right. Well, I guess I'll do it.
Does Solomon have any particular strength with languages or ancient text? Especially,
he's a wizard, so he's like poured over lots of ancient tomes that may or may not have been from the accursed, you know, desert lands of, you know.
Although this is a quick thing, why don't you give me a delve deeper roll as you are about to remove the lid? It's a plus research.
I believe so.
Yep. And this will just count for all of the study you might have done.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Boxcars.
Okay. Wow, very nice. Right. The pyramid that the dean has here is kind of in the old is the Aztec style. What is it called? The tiered type of pyramid.
Ziggurat.
The ziggurat style, right? And so the iconography that is all around this is coming down. It's the more modern, we're towards the top. And so these are the oldest crypts right here where you are. These are the oldest bodies. This one is adorned with a mixture of Egyptian, Mayan, and what you see to be both angelic and demonic script.
Demonic script, I ought to be able to read, no problem.
Yeah, sure. As a matter of fact, yeah, you can pick it out. It's very old, very, very old.
You can tell because all the S's look like F's.
It is a genealogy. It's a family history. Your best guess, because remember, even though you're kind of caught up in the narrative, you still know about the Pig Smoke campus, etc. You know there is a dean, but you don't see Sam and the dean as the same being, because you're kind of caught up in the narrative. This would be the dean's first wife.
Did you figure out who it is?
It's the dean's first wife, his bird, if you will.
All the other stuff, kind of inconsequentially, are all very large, strong binding charms to keep something of incredible power and malevolence in check. That's just an aside.
What did you say about the older something's been dead, the more powerful it is?
It's very likely that's true.
Okay. Well, you might have the chance to put that theory into some experimentation here, if those words don't hold.
Okay. Have you opened it yet?
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, as I said, the top of the tomb has been cracked. So it's actually easy for you to move aside half the top of the stone lid.
Well, how about you don't do that then?
Hey, you need a flashlight? I've got one here.
Of course.
How about we go looking for the Peregrine?
I'm starting to think his first wife might be the Peregrine, using some, we're going to go into some metaphor.
Whose first wife?
The Dean's.
Ah, that makes sense with the bird iconography.
Mm-hmm. I will gladly take that flashlight.
Can you just make sure she's there?
I'm going to do that right now. I'll put my face right here in this light, shine the light right in here, and take a peek in.
Dust, but you can tell that someone has disturbed the dust. Like, the dust has been moved, and there's different impressions where things were laying inside the tomb that have been removed. Like, that definitely there looks like that was probably an amulet of some sort, because you can see kind of a solid blob and then like what looks like a chain impression left in the dust. It's just filled with dust, but things have been removed.
Is there a body?
Nothing but dust.
Or skull bones?
Dust. Lots of dust.
It's been here a long time, so it might be nothing but dust.
Oh, that's not how bones work.
Well, it is the Dean's first wife. It's not even odds that she didn't have bones to begin with. Maybe I'll open this up just to be sure.
All right, do you move it all the way aside?
I'm going to swing it 90 degrees, if I can pivot along the, in the middle.
Okay.
There.
There is a bone left inside. It was hidden by the top part of the sarcophagus lid. The skull is intact. The skull has two prominent canines on the upper jaw. The lower jawbone's missing, as are all the other bones from the head down. But the skull is still there.
Prominent canines, as in they're bigger than they should be?
Oh, yes. Bigger and much sharper than they should be.
Life and death department here. Are we talking vampire or werewolf?
Neither. Something very old.
Serpent person. Miss Lemuria. PC 5000. Okay, so there's the skull, and there's a bone. What kind of bone is the other?
Oh, that is the bone. That's the only bone.
Oh, I thought there's a leg bone or something.
Nope.
All right, yeah, it's only skull.
The top part, so no jawbone. It's just, upper jaw. Well,
we know that they've taken something that looks like an amulet, which may be our whatever Peregrine. Ruby Peregrine?
Malta. Thanks, Peregrine.
I don't even know what we're looking for anymore.
Well, here's the thing. That there skull would make a really swell, sympathetic component to a nice old tracking spell. They've been in close contact for several thousand years.
I would rather you did not do that.
I would too. I was hoping you would do it.
I am not that crazy. I've heard enough stories about the Dean, and it is only by his grace that he allows a private detective to live on campus.
I'm going to be looking to see where the narrative directs us next, Bert.
How do you do that?
I've been following the threads of the narrative, so... Right.
So the narrative clues are, the something has been removed from the tomb. There's footprints that lead up. The footprints, by the way, are small enough that you think it's a small man or a woman.
Mm. This is my shark face.
Well, if you're afraid
to be honest, at this point, I think we should just confront. We should just co-confront Miss Wonderly, who the initial hire, because it seemed like more she. It's indicated that she knows what's going on, and I think she knows more of what's going on. And I'm kind of curious what Miss Wonderly is doing at this large mansion.
I think that actually, if we follow the skull where the sympathetic magic goes, that'd probably be for the best, gentlemen.
Aha! Democracy at its finest, 2-1.
Yeah.
Now it's.
So I'm pretty good at being a wizard.
If you want to risk it, even though this is more my department, sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to try it, it's a plus sorcery, but it is outside of your department. It's more life and death. So it would be. Well, actually, that's not
it's more
true
like just because you're just divination.
Because you're using it as sympathetic instead of. Yeah. Okay.
That's actually outside of all our departments.
Yeah. So it would just be plus sorcery if you want to try it.
Yeah, I think Nick has a nice way of cheating it because he's also following the mentality of the story as well.
Yep, exactly. Line. Yeah, he sees all the connections.
Wow.
By the way, the connections down here are strong, but not as strong as they were to where the dean was.
Bert, is there like a critical success?
That is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
as you get good as you can get.
There's still one unintended consequence regardless, though. So it is the unintended.
I always make it someone else's problem.
Perfect.
Oh, God damn it! I'm going to be blamed for this somehow again.
Okay. Well, you have to remove the skull to keep the spell going. So are you doing that?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, pick it up. So light inside the eye sockets of the skull begin to glimmer. And as you sweep it about the room, it gets stronger in the direction, you know, going leading back up. So you have a compass to find where the rest of the items are.
All right. Well, let's go, gentlemen.
Lead on, McDuff.
The chase is afoot. Or what is it? That.
Please don't make this my problem. I've had so many of the things that he does become my problem. I get hurt by his spells. I'm trying to remember. I think I've been hurt by two or three different spells by Mortis.
I smile and nod in the background.
All right. So you follow the lead of the skull as it brings you up out of the crypt and is pointing the way up the steps of the ziggurat to the very apex.
Is it a ziggurat or a giant mansion?
It is. Well, to you, it looks like a mansion that has a really long set of steps going up. You see blonde hair and a white nightgown as Miss Wonderly is at the near top of the stairs. As lightning flashes around, she takes a puff of her cigarette and she throws her hair back and enters the building at the very top.
I don't want that to happen.
Too many stairs. Why would you build your mansion on stairs? Why not have a normal drive to your mansion entrance?
So do you continue up?
He hates you. That's why.
You continue on up?
Of course, we must.
Yes. With a bullet wound and everything.
Come on, old boys.
The very apex, the two bronze doors, heavily worked with charms and languages from many expunged races at this point, lost to time. They're opened just enough for a thin person to be able to pass through. And inside you see the flickering of what must be candlelight or lamplight, and you see the figure of Miss Wonderly retreating inside.
How kind of her to wait for us to get up all those stairs before retreating further inside.
Almost like she wants us to be drawn in after her.
Well, it's not like we weren't going to be drawn in after her anyway. Looking at the, I look over at our skull compass. Is it leading inward as we expect?
Yes. The eyes are very bright in the direction.
I weep as I realize I've got only my magic gun and no backup. I don't have my good backup. They've been taken out.
Ah, man. Like we're not even here.
So you guys enter?
I look at you and go, I only trust as far as I can throw you, Mr. King. And Mr. Mortis is... he's dependable, but sometimes I worry that he's already wounded like I am. So if we get caught in an ambush, he and I are going to be taken out.
Well, keep that kind of negative thoughts, especially.
That's why I worry about lacking my normal backup. Plus, for all I know, you'll save my life, but you'll make sure it costs $19.99 plus my soul and three different other souls.
You know me so well.
That's why I never sign any contract you give me.
That's a smart move. I've always said you were a smart fellow. Hey, I've got the... oh, never mind.
You guys talking as you enter?
Yes.
All right, so the light is being cast. There are these hanging bronze pans filled with oil, and the oil's lit, causing the light to refract. The inside is heavily made of bronze, gold, silver. The light just kind of bounces all over the place. Once you enter the threshold, so the illusion is stripped from all of you. You guys are now out of the narrative. You find yourself in the heart of the Dean's sanctum.
Am I no longer a detective?
Where'd that dog come from? Why are you wearing that bathrobe? What the hell's going on here?
It's not a bathrobe. It's a wizard's robe. Wait, why do I have my fishing hat on? I'm not going fishing.
Down the center of the room is like a canal has been set up. So the room is divided on left and right with like a, what for the most part looks like a river that flows from one end to the other. At the very far end, on a stone altar, there is what appears to be a young woman, a student, glasses, and she's sitting in kind of a lotus position. She has an amulet over her neck, a couple of very large rings on her fingers, and kind of cradled between her leg is another of those falcons. And then hovering above her, now you can out of the narrative now, is Miss quote Wonderly. Looks very different. Her arms are very long and spindly and in claws. Her face, while still beautiful, is very, it's long and drawn, and you can see through her smile fangs in her teeth. Her eyes are goldish light coming from them, and her voice, while it seems she whispers, echoes through the chamber, and she says, "You failed to bring my sister."
And
all the times and all the ages that have passed, you still can't find good help.
Oh, please, no. Why? Why an undead spirit of ancient power? Why is it always this? And I'm not even in my proper clothes.
It's a very simple task. Bring me the mortal shell of my husband's relations. I need to change into something more comfortable. I need that body.
But you see, the thing is...
Mr. Bortis, can I borrow that skull for a moment?
Yeah, sure, here.
And as he says that, I kind of am reaching into pockets hoping that I've got some type of other ritual stuff, as I'm thinking of trying to use the sympathetic nature of it to hopefully bind the spirit to the skull if things go south.
I'm kind of catching on. I'm kind of catching on to what he's throwing down, so I'm going to try and like interpose myself between him and the spirit just to give him some blocking.
All right. All right. So you're just physically kind of stepping in front of him. So
yeah, just kind of like posing up in front of him, so he's like got some cover and maybe
so as I'm messing with the skull, you know, getting out some ink, putting the right sigils on it, that type of thing.
Jeez, sounds good. Cover.
Yeah, we'll start like fast talking to keep the old Doctor Who trick. Fast talking while the guy's doing his thing. So how many times have you tried to do this?
Although what's funny is
Right, so she says, as kind of her spectral hand caresses the cheek of the student that seems to be in some kind of trance below her. She's floating above. It's like, it seems that the students here like to pry into things that they should not. This wonderful little morsel was able to break the seal to my tomb. I led her to take certain items that would allow me to have some power in this outside world.
Is that Monica Pennyweather from the alchemy department?
Ooh, give me a schmooze roll.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Oh yeah, nice. Yeah, actually, you say the name, and the student kind of looks up, bloody tears coming out of her eyes as she kind of mouths to you, "Help me."
I do, and I'm kind of leaning forward, like to Solomon, and kind of whispering in his ear, "Do you have any other suggestions, Mr. Binding Department? I've got basics of undead stuff, but any suggestions that add to extra?"
Yeah, you want to use the 30-second incantation of Enochian abjuration.
But wouldn't ancient evils would be better with the 38th?
So,
yeah, but you want to make sure you use the McKendrick translation.
Okay.
Miss, what should we call you there, ma'am?
I believe the wind is called Soraya in your modern speech. So, Soraya.
Put that down.
So, Miss Soraya, what is it? I confuse. You have confused your humble man that I am.
Before you go on, just so that we can color it towards the roll, go ahead and give me a schmooze roll, and then you can continue with what you're saying based on how well you roll that.
All right. Well, let's see if I call her a dirty prostitute, or if I call her. Why didn't you roll? Okay. All right. I succeed.
Okay, yeah, go on with it.
So, forgive your humble, help. I don't understand why you want what you want, and I am unclear. Perhaps that knowledge, that enlightenment, will be it, allow me to better serve in the role.
This is a place of teaching, is it not? Is my husband so poor at this that you would ask such a simple question? I require the body. Bring me the girl.
Okay. The problem is, well,
he won't give us the body without the bird.
And the bird that we gave him wasn't the bird that he wanted.
Come forward, take the bird. Bring me the body.
I look for the bird.
It's in the lap of the young student.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I'll go grab the bird. What's the worst that's going to happen here?
as you're getting closer, you notice, other than the bloody tears that are coming out of the student's eyes, she seems to be withering. You've seen the student around before. She's, you know, a little on the stout side normally. It looks like she's gone without meals for a while. And like the skin is just kind of hanging on her bones. Face is drawn. She's losing a lot of color. And she's just mumbling as you come up. Help me.
Okay. Well, see, the thing is, I also want the student. I mean, it's fair to give payment, correct?
Okay. Let's do a timeout for just a second. Mortis, you think you could pull the spell off. It's a really powerful spirit, though. Game terms, you're going to be rolling with disadvantage. Solomon, or also Mortis, if you can figure out a way to help Mortimer in some way, Solomon, with that excellent roll that you made before, you know that there is some kind of bond between the student and the spirit as well. And you can play with that however you want to. All right. So
I've been... I've been helping him, like, with the whole giving him, you know, cliff notes and whatnot on what incantations to use on the thing. So I've already been doing that.
Okay. Why don't you make me a roll then? Let's see how the information you give him, how useful it is in this particular. And if you succeed, it will get rid of the disadvantage that he has, making it even.
I don't suppose she counts as an extra planner critter, does she?
She does.
Ooh, we could use theocracy then. No! Ooh.
Okay, so yeah, the disadvantage is still in effect. As far as you know, Mortimer, King is feeding you some good information. Unfortunately, King has has bad info.
Actually, you know okay. What?
Yeah, if you've got something that'll allow you to do something with that role, feel free.
Yeah. Well, does this count as casting a spell for me?
Yeah. Oh, well, no, it's not. No, you're just okay. Giving information.
Then I can't.
Is all right, there continue any? On. If there's anything else you guys think you can do to help with the spell,
question for I could. What's sad is I have a suggestion, but I'm not sure if I can give it.
Sure, you can talk.
Okay, I was going to suggest that Mortis, with his mind powers, may be able to separate the minds using the mind as a way of separating the connection.
Ah, see, I was going to give the opposite advice of attack through the weaker citadel. Don't go through the
school. Oh, okay, yeah, that might work even better, but I didn't want to take the student, I didn't want to bind the student as well.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. But, all right, so I will flip back with... telepathy spell. Say when.
And as you're reaching, like I say, when you reach for the statue, you'll be close to her. Do it then.
Right.
I've got everything going. Solomon King's giving me some good info.
Right. I will seek to break the connection right as I before I reach for the.
Okay, you're trying to break the connection between the student and the spirit. Yes.
Yes.
All right. This is very difficult. It's a very strong spirit. Mm-hmm. You're in close proximity, though, so I think I'm going to... We'll call it evens. So no disadvantage, no advantage. Go ahead. This is basically you're casting a spell here, so...
Oh! Right. Snake eyes!
Now, Mortis doesn't know that you failed.
All right, I'm going to go for it.
So you're at disadvantage, however. No one's been able to give you an advantage here.
Oh, come on, baby. Don't make me have to be a fatalist again.
So
I don't want my department head being pissed at me in burnout.
So do you know how disadvantage works?
Yep.
You roll two or three and take the two lowest.
Of course.
Okay.
I'm going to take a burnout to make it. To make it a 7 through 9.
Can I take a burnout to make it 7 through 9?
No, I'm a fatalist. It's a special ability.
Ah.
I got it from a different playbook. It's the divination playbook. Just a note for you, Bert. That's my third burnout, so I'm going to get a yelling out from my department later.
Yep. All right. So 7 to 9. Pick what's going to go wrong.
Okay. One is that here's what's going to happen. It's going to my solution is going to become someone else's problem, and I'm going to get taken out. So I'm going to succeed in binding her, but I'm going to get taken out.
Okay. There's a play of power. You're having to put a lot of effort into this. And all of you are seeing like that there's this play of power back and forth between the spirit and between Mortimer. And it seems as Mortimer presses his power, the spirit seems to be drawing more and more life essence out of the child. And there is like a snapping sound. Child's neck breaks as she slumps forward. And the spirit is drawn into the skull, which explodes on Mortimer. And that will take Mortimer out.
The last words of Mortimer as it's right before he explodes, he goes, "I knew I should have said the 33rd hymn."
Okay. All of the burning braziers, suddenly the fires are snuffed and you are in complete darkness. You can hear the moving water in the floor, in the river that runs through the building. Everything's really quiet. It's very dark. And there's just this dullest bit of light just right near your face there. Mortis, it is the peregrine, seems to be glowing softly just a little. All right. You're still attached to, the spell that kind of you're able to see where everything's woven together. All the final threads lead to this peregrine.
Oh, okay. I guess it's, yay, we succeeded.
Yeah, so what do you guys do? It's pitch dark.
I'm looking through Mortimer's pockets where he had the flashlight previous.
Yep, so there it is.
That wasn't just a chimeric manifestation.
Nope, it was not. You find the flashlight.
Turn it on.
All right, there are bone shards that are... peppering Seymour Mortimer the Third. Even the two fangs are lodged deep in his chest. He seems to be barely breathing.
No sign of the spirit, huh? Spell worked.
No sign of the spirit.
Grab the. Oh, she's dead, isn't she?
Yes. Sadly,
you have the option of grabbing her. I'ma grab Mortimer.
I think, yeah, I'll grab her.
Have to justify it to me.
Well, I just don't want to leave a corpse on the dean's doorstep.
That does seem unpolitic.
Yeah. I want to have my face look the same tomorrow. Also, it's
really?
To do honor to the dead.
Sure. All right. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
So you bumble your way through. You come out into the night sky. Snowstorm has started while you are in there. The floors of the pyramid are starting to pile up with the white snow. The very bottom of the pyramid, all the way down, you see the dean still in his white suit. He's got this very... very nice hat on. It's got a black band on it. He's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's got a bottle of bourbon in the other. He spits out the cigar or a cigarette. He looks up at you, says, "Yeah, do it right, folks. Gather all the stuff in there, bury it right." He's still speaking like he is Mr. Spade.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to do what I will say. Yes, sir.
All right. So how do you do this? How do you reconsecrate the crypt? How do you go about doing anything? He's just overseeing you, like almost as if you're being graded.
I'll pluck the fangs out of Mort's chest. Well, these are still fairly intact. We could put these back in the casket, I suppose.
And then we can we can first rearrange the casket the way it was. Then we can this is kind of your speciality, right?
I guess as much as anyone's, yeah.
Okay, so, and then we can, from there, what we can do is I can cast something of disinterest around this peregrine. So there that way people are no longer desirous of her. We put the skull back along with the fangs, right?
Well, the skull shattered, right?
Yeah, all the bits are stuck in Mortimer.
Oh, we'll pluck out what pieces we can.
No, not what pieces we can. We're going to pluck everything out.
I mean, the pieces that are, you know, macroatomic.
So basically, what we should do is we should cast. Yay, more spell casting. I want to see, make sure.
At some point, I should probably call the medical wing too, while he's has a mobile pincushion.
Yeah. After we cast this spell, let's cast the spell that let's cast a sympathetic magic spell on the shards and have them kind of pull themselves out.
Sounds good.
So basically we'll use the fang as basically a magnet and, you know,
I just reconstitute the thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Go for it.
Pretty smart thinking.
All right. Well, let's see.
Are you, I was going to say, are you helping King? Or are you letting him do it?
I'll help.
You'll please help.
Roll one more die and then you can take, the better. Just roll another D6. Give you advantage. That's same. It's okay. All right.
The curse of three.
Yep.
It's still an 8, so it still succeeds.
Yep. I get to choose 2.
Yep.
All right. Gosh, my solution always becomes someone else's problem. And then
that's habitual. What else?
Yes. I'm like a karmic Houdini when it comes to this crap. Bert. I can't become hurt or else I get taken. I guess I can get taken out, right?
Yeah, you can be taken out.
Yeah. As I cast the spell, I go, it's all up to you, King.
I just imagine they all charge into you now.
Are you goddamn serious? Sam, look at knocked out guy to the left of me, knocked out guy to the right of me. All right.
This is literally becoming someone else's problem.
It sure is. All right, well, I'll take the reconstituted skull, inter it all nice in the crypt.
Mm-hmm.
Seal it back up.
All right.
And then, yeah, I'll make sure use some calling up and casting down and binding magic to make sure that the spirit is bound properly into its, sanctified place here, so it stays there.
All right. let's have a spell. This whole time, the Dean / Mr. Spade watches on as he smokes a cigarette and drinks from his bourbon bottle.
Yeah, that's not at all distressing. This, she's still counting as an extra planner being?
Yes.
Very good. All right.
All right.
Now I got to choose two. Yep.
Oh, it's only a plus one for you?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you had plus two in sorcery or bureaucracy or whatever.
He's a bureaucracy, man.
Yeah, but I thought you got to use bureaucracy for explainer.
Bureaucracy is plus one. My charisma is my plus two.
Ah, okay.
All right, so what are you choosing?
Looking at the list here. I guess I'll get hurt.
Well, that's only your first hurt of
the night. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you're playing with powerful spirits here, so it just takes its toll on you. Last question though, what do you do with the peregrine?
Oh, and then like my second, I gotta choose a second one here too.
I thought they put the peregrine in the coffin.
No.
Hmm.
And the second one, I'll make it short-lived or otherwise temporary.
Okay.
that should cause a nice plot twist later on.
Oh, God.
And, I mean, the Dean wanted the Falcon, right?
Yeah, he did.
Well, give it to him.
All right. He trades you. He gives you his bottle of bourbon.
Oh, that's fair.
He takes the peregrine.
The only evil spirits I want to deal with today is this bottle right here.
The stone doors of the sarcophagus, the shattered bricks seem to heal and become whole again as the door is shut. And he places the peregrine back at the key of the arch, and it seems to meld into the stone. You feel an incredible amount of power, of magic coursing through the area. And there's almost like the sound of this voomp sound as a seal has been placed again on the crypt.
That's not what a seal sounds like.
He walks over to you.
Seal sounds like this. Arp, arp, arp.
Pulls out a cigarette for himself, hands one to you.
Oh, thank you.
Lights them both up, pats you on the back, says, good job. I might be in need of a new partner soon. I'll keep you in mind.
He starts
whistling a tune as he starts walking up the steps of the pyramid, leaving you to deal with your two friends that are motionless here.
Actually, I'd like to paint the better picture. He's got two unconscious friends, a van that's full of bones that have collapsed on themselves, and it's a stick shift.
I just sit down on the ground and just start nursing the bottle.
Right. Okay. So we're going to cut scenes a few weeks later. So both of you guys are taken out. We're going to get the hospital rolls. So let's start with Nick. Roll plus nothing, Nick.
All right. Well, this has done nothing but worked out great so far. So here's hoping that it continues to do so. Hey, they succeed.
You're more or less okay. Choose one.
Where is this? What page is this on, Bert?
30.
Page 30. Yep. Vamping, vamping, vamping. Did you know that there were 5 Thin Mints and that they got progressively worse the more times that they made it, which is kind of shocking. Normally you would expect that it would get progressively better. I owe someone a favor.
All right. It's it's the same guy that's been treating
Mortimer,
yeah. She's like, oh my god.
It's the vet. He gets the vet, Cedric Miller.
Yes, yes, there we go. You get the vet again. All right, yeah, so you owe a favor. So let's go ahead with Marcus then. Make your roll plus nothing.
I'm perfectly fine.
Yes, you are. Yep, back to your old self again. No problem. All right. Now, a couple of you guys failed rolls there. Make sure that you marked experience for failing those rolls.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately for me, there's only one roll I rolled that I didn't fatalist it.
Also, Solomon King, mark two more.
Oh, great.
You got the Dean's favor for doing a good job.
What? I literally... This
sucks.
This is unfair bull malarkey.
Agreed.
Mortimer the Third, you are called to the dean's office shortly after you are mobile again.
Yay. I go to the dean's office.
The dean's office is the building right below the pyramid. And you notice as you come in that there is a new sign out front that says Spade Investigations.
I just nod and go along with it.
Yep. And for the next hour, you're proceeded to be, he has a jacket on you, which is, for potential employment. And he's going over everything that you did wrong during that last encounter. And you're put on notice that anyone working for Spade Investigations has got to have a stronger moral fiber, be able to do the right thing under any circumstances. Yeah, so for all of those leading, all those failures where you guys have chosen it's someone else's problem, Dean isn't himself.
Okay.
Yep. So now we go forward with the Dean thinking that he is also Sam Spade.
Nice.
Oh, God.
The blonde devil. Well, Sam
Spade. You can't blame me. I haven't been choosing someone else's problem that often.
The gentleman, Sam Spade, is described as the blonde devil. So.
There we go. All right. So remember, your burnout doesn't go away. Keep that track there until you can figure out ways to make it go away. Has anyone accumulated 5 experience to this?
Not yet. 4.
Not yet. 4. Okay. Okay. Very good. So.
All right. Well, thank you for running, Bert.
Yeah, yep. Hopefully that was enjoyable.
It was very enjoyable. I love old timey noir, and it was fun to play again with Nick Charles and
do you love Nick Charles?
Who and Marcus, you did an excellent job. I would like to commend you for your ability to keep a running narrative.
Who are you playing, Marcus?
I was playing the cliche detective who has an internal monologue. Oh, just that's external.
No one specific. Just
yeah.
Gotcha. Yep.
All right, guys, that was fun.
All right, have a good day.
Have a good night, guys.